We're going to be in several places in the New Testament this morning. You'll get a little exercise as much as you can attempt to keep up with this. Reconciliation of things, details on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 28 is where we'll begin. Matthew chapter 28. Pray for this lesson and the teaching that's going on everywhere. Folks teaching all these classes and some of the new ones that we've got now. Thank you. Why don't you pray for us and pray for them as well. Thank you. Amen. 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 Matthew chapter 28. Now what we're going to do is we're going to read from Matthew, and then we're going to read from Mark, and then we're going to read from Luke, and we're going to read from John, and that way you will have taken care of your daily Bible reading for the day. And we're not going to read the whole chapter. We're going to read up to a point and pay careful attention to something as we read. The accounts appear to be somewhat contradictory in that the information doesn't seem to, it's like, were you there and saw this? Did you get this? Who'd you get this from to write this down? Because the accounts, you know, seem to have different people there and things happening, sometimes just one angel, sometimes two, and it's kind of like, what is all that? All of these accounts are supplementary. That is, that you take what Matthew said, what Mark said, what Luke said, what John said, and put those together, sort out the time, and you're going to find out exactly what happened on Sunday morning after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, keep something in mind as you get ready to read these. Jesus Christ rose on the first day of the week. But on a Jewish calendar, the first day of the week begins not at midnight like it does on our calendar, but at 6 o'clock in the evening from the prior day, or what we would call from the prior day. So when you get to the Saturday at 6 o'clock in the evening, the Sabbath is over and the first day of the week begins. So Jesus rises in the night. By the time that Mary and the other folks arrive at the tomb, he's already gone. The angel didn't roll away the stone to let him out. The angel rolled away the stone to show everybody else he wasn't there. Okay? So that's really important to remember. But now just try to absorb these things. We won't try to go back and forth too much through the remainder of the study. You'll kind of get lost in it. And if you're thinking, man, I need to try to write all this down, don't worry if you have access to the internet. And you go to our website, you know, my3bc.com. This lesson will be posted up there probably tomorrow afternoon, and you'll be able to see all the notes and do the reconciliation. You say, why is this important? Right now, there are a lot of atheists, and I say that in quote, a lot of atheists who were former believers, and I say that in quote. I don't say they were believers to the extent that you are, but I say that they were religious people at least. They were churchgoers. They grew up in some sort of a religion, and today they profess to be atheists. And many of them will tell you that one of the reasons that they don't believe the Bible and they don't go along with religion is because of all the contradictions in the Bible. Okay? And so this is one area for good number of apparent contradictions, and we're going to reconcile all that today, Lord willing. Okay? Matthew chapter 28, begin with verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. That other Mary was also mentioned up in verse 61 of the prior chapter. To see the sepulcher, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow, and for fear of him the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Okay? Now, that's the first piece. In this particular piece, we find that there are two Marys there, Mary Magdalene and what's called the other Mary. Okay? There is one angel there, and he's sitting on the stone. He got there before they did, and the keepers, the four that were the watch, saw him and were scared to death. They shake and became as dead men. They ran. Now, when you get to the end of Matthew, they go into town, they tell the Pharisees and the chief priests what happened, and they're paid a large sum of money to lie and say they fell asleep on their watch and the disciples stole the body. Okay, they've seen it. Now go to Mark chapter 16. So two Marys, that's all you're reading about. No disciples, one angel, and keepers that saw the angel and went to town to tell what they saw and were paid money to lie. Mark 16, verse 1. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, so there's the other Mary, and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. All right, so in this account, there's more than just the two Marys. There's also Salome. When they get there, the stone is already rolled away, and they enter the sepulchre, and they see a young man sitting on the right side of where he had lain. Now, from your reading of the Bible and from your studying of the Bible, when an angel of the Lord appears, what does he look like? Well, he looks like a man, and here he is, this young man that they see. And also, he can appear just like they saw him sitting on the stone outside of the tomb with a countenance of lightning in white, bright raiment. Those are the two. They never appear as females, never appear with blonde hair, never appear with wings and dresses. They always appear either as a man or in that fearful appearance of lightning in a white raiment. Here, when they see him, he's not on the stone, he's inside the sepulchre. Here, there's three women, at least, and then a comment about having seen Mary Magdalene first, that he appeared unto her, okay? So some different details and some people in different places and more people than were there before, okay? Luke, now we go to Luke, Luke chapter 24 and verse 1. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. So there's some other women there. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Isn't that interesting? I mean, I know you've read through the New Testament. You probably never caught these distinctions. And because you got by the time you finish Mark 16, there's 23 more verses, you know, before you get to Luke 24, and it oftentimes don't lay these accounts down side by side. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. So they're saying much more than what had been said even before. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulcher and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the free, all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, okay, that's the first time we've heard of her being there, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. So now we have another person by name, not just Mary and Mary and Salome, but also Joanna. And then we also have these other women that are there. Their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Verse 12, Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about three score furlongs. Now, this is the account of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus that see Jesus Christ. And we've already heard about them in a prior account. That's a long account of what goes on in their discourse with Jesus Christ. We won't read all of that. But nevertheless, he does appear to those two on the road to Emmaus. So we've got some more details now. Two men, and more than the women that we had heard about before, and then this appearance of more details on, first of all, Peter running to the sepulcher and seeing the linen clothes lying by themselves, and then these two on the road to Emmaus. Okay? John, now, chapter 20. John, chapter 20. You getting thoroughly, you ready to become an atheist yet? The first day of the week, John chapter 20, verse 1, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. That's going to be John. He always refers to himself in the third person. And saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. Well, we didn't know about John running over there from the other account. So they ran both together. The other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down, looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary, this will be Magdalene, stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting. In the other account, they were standing. The one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary, and she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Well, in Matthew, they held him by the feet. Here she's alone, and he says, You can't touch me, I haven't yet ascended. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And we did read about this, and he goes into more detail. When he said so, he showed unto them his hands and his side. then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Okay? So then he goes on and does some other things. So this is in the evening. Although I'll tell you, there's a lot of detail there. And there's a lot of detail that seems to have contradictory statements. In one case, angels are standing. In one case, there's only one sitting. In one other case, there's two sitting. In another case, there's one sitting on a stone. In one case, Mary's there alone. In another case, Peter's there. In another case, Peter's there with John. In another case, they're not alone. There's many of them there. In one case, it's just Mary and the other Mary. I mean, what is all that? Well, there's a couple of things going on, and we'll reconcile this as we go through these today. But, you know, one of the things is you've got four different men writing the Gospels, and you'll have people say to you, scholars, Mark was the first one that wrote, and Matthew and Luke and John consulted Mark's Gospel and wrote their own. They'll tell you that. If that was the case, then these accounts of the resurrection would be very similar. And these accounts of the resurrection are not very similar. They're very different. All right? So I don't believe the scholars. I believe that God dealt with each of these men individually and that you have four different men giving their perspective on what happened. Now, last week, y'all came here for Sunday school and church, and we were running a generator, and we had, you know, bug lights strung through the rafters. So you'd have light and a little generator running and everything hooked up by the generator. And if I asked four of you to write an account of what that day was like, you'd have four different accounts. But if I could put all that information together, then I could tell you a lot more than I could if I just gave you one of the accounts. Okay? So that's what you have going on here is not something contradictory. You just have something going on from four different perspectives. Now, it may appear that these things are contradictory, but the element, what you've got is you have something that's 12 hours from the time that the first event occurs before the dawning of the day until the evening when Jesus appears to them and they're all together. You've got 12 hours, and there's a lot of things going on in that 12-hour period of time. And so people are running back and forth to the tomb. That's what's going on. And sometimes it's one, and sometimes it's several, and sometimes one stays and others leave. And you've got all that going on at the same time. And then you have Jesus who said, don't touch me, I've not yet ascended to my Father, go tell him that I ascend. And then you have some women running to tell some disciples, and he shows up again. You know what that tells you? That tells you when they saw him really early, he hadn't yet ascended to his Father, and when they see him a little later that day, he's already ascended and come back, and now they can touch him. It doesn't mean that one said, you can't touch me because I haven't yet ascended, and I'm not going to ascend for 40 more days. And another one saying, you can go ahead and worship me and touch me. No, he went up and came back in the same day. Then 40 days later, when he finally ascended, they saw him go up. Okay? So let's look at this from the perspective of the people involved. It's easier to see it that way. And the first group that we'll analyze is the two Marys. The two Marys. All right, in Matthew chapter 28, at first daylight, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, came to the sepulcher. They were accompanied, as we find out from Mark, by Salome, who had been with them at the crucifixion. Okay? These women that were there that morning were also there at the crucifixion and ministered unto him. Salome came, and they also came with Joanna, and they also came with other women. We saw that from Matthew, from Mark, and from Luke. Okay, so there's several of them, and this is the first thing that's happening. As they're going, they're wondering, who's going to roll back the stone for us? They hadn't got there yet. We read about that in Mark chapter 16. When they looked at the tomb, then they saw that the great stone had already been rolled away. We saw that from Mark chapter 16, verse 4. All right? Right then, they see that angel sitting on the stone that Matthew tells you about because they're approaching the tomb. So they see that angel that's sitting there that covered the sepulcher, that on that stone, and he pronounces to them, Jesus is risen. He's not here. You see that if you've turned to Matthew chapter 28. All these women are together, and in verse 2 of Matthew chapter 28, the angel has already descended the soldiers have seen him, they've gotten scared, and they've left. When the women showed up, he's still sitting there, and he says, "Fear not ye, I know," in verse 5, "that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen, as he said." And then he invites them to see it. Come see the place where he lay. That's why they go in there. Okay? So in Mark 16, verses 5 through 8, they enter the sepulcher. They go in. And when they get in there, they see a young man clothed, sitting at where Jesus lay, at the right-hand side. All right, where's the other angel? He was outside on the stone. There's two of them. You see? All right, and so when they walk in, they see the young man clothed in a long white garment sitting on the right side. And in Luke 24, verse 4, go over there, what are these angels doing in Luke? They see him sitting on the right side, but in Luke 24, 4, where are they? Luke 24, 4, it came to pass as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Well, the guy sitting at the right hand stands up and comes by them. The one on the stone outside enters the sepulchre with them. Now you got two angels standing by them, you see? It's always a matter of time and perspective. The supplemental accounts actually tell you more about what happened. What you've got to do is get the sequence of events in order. So, no contradictions. All right? He told them, don't be afraid. Jesus was risen. And then he gave them instructions to tell the disciples to meet Jesus in Galilee. All right? In Matthew 28, after they hear the instructions in verse 7, they go to tell the disciples. Verse 8, they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy and did run to bring his disciples word. So they're doing what they're told. Everything's still good. And they weren't talking to anyone. And the reason is they were afraid. And they were running quick. You know, it's a good thing he shows the women because, you know, men are inclined to keep things to themselves and women are, I guess. I mean, I'm looking at all these. You just can't even believe what I'm seeing up here from watching all these men. I didn't say anything. I'm looking at men nodding like this. There are a lot of several men doing like this. I mean, all the news anchors now are women, are they not? Giving you all the good. Anyway, so that's just leave that where that is. That's a side comment. Anyway, if you want the news to get out, Jesus appeared to those women, and boy, I mean, the angels, and they're going. They're telling you they're going to go. They're afraid. All right? In Luke 24, 9, they went to the 11 and those that were with them to tell them these things. So they did what they were told. And in John 21, they tell the disciples, who comes back with them? Who comes back with them? Y'all just read it. Peter and John. They go, hey, you wouldn't believe this. And Peter and John, let's go. And so they go back. And Peter and John go with them. And they return with Mary Magdalene to the sepulcher. So they both go in. Peter, you know, John stands out at the opening of the sepulcher. Peter runs in. John follows in behind. They check the thing out. They see the linen clothes lying in the napkin that had been wrapped by his head lying by itself. Then they leave. Who does that leave there alone? Mary Magdalene. So she stayed behind because Jesus appeared to her alone first, according to Mark 16:9. He first appeared unto Mary Magdalene. Nobody's seen him. What have they seen up to this point? They've seen two angels, no soldiers, and what? They've seen the linen clothes lying by themselves, the napkin folded by itself. What else have they seen? The empty tomb. That's all they've seen. Nobody has seen Jesus yet. Okay? So now Peter and John go. Mary Magdalene is there alone. And in John chapter 20, she's outside the tomb weeping. And she sees the gardener still having trouble with all this and says, if you can tell me where they laid him. You know, the disciples, up until that night when they see him, They don't believe the account of the two men on the road to Emmaus. They're not going to believe Mary Magdalene. None of them believe it. So she's weeping. Tell me where they laid him, and then I'll go and I'll, you know, do the spices or whatever. I want to see him. She thought someone had taken his body. Still. All right? So when she sees him, she mistakes him for the gardener, asks him where the body was. He calls her by name, and she knows right then it's the Lord. That's when she tried to touch him, and he said, you can't do that. I haven't yet ascended to my Father. Just go tell him that I'm going. So just keep telling him the same message. You know, didn't Jesus do that? Didn't he just keep repeating the same message to his disciples? I've got to die. I've got to rise again. So he says, go and tell him again. So she reported to the disciples. Now what? What did she report to him this time? That she had seen the Lord. Up to that time, all she had seen was the empty tomb and the angels who said he's risen and he's not here. Now she's seen him. Okay? And in Matthew 28, verse 9, they've been notified and there are other disciples. And as they went, in verse 9, to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail, and they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Now there's a big stir. Now there are a lot of people running around and telling others and telling others, and he appears to them, and they hold him. Let me tell you something. That's a pretty good glorified body. They can go up and come back quick. But that tells you something about the body that he rose with. People say, oh, I believe he swooned. And he woke up and rolled the stone back himself 3 days later. He didn't do that. He came up in a substantially, perfectly glorified body. So then in verse 10 of Matthew chapter 28, he confirms the angel's instructions. He said unto them, be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. So He confirms the instructions that they've been given. They're still running around in Jerusalem all excited, looking for Easter eggs. No. What did that ever have to do with the resurrection of Jesus Christ, right? Isn't that crazy? Okay, so you see how those accounts, I'm telling you, they are supplemental, and once you can get them organized in the events according to their time, they perfectly lay out the events of that morning until whatever time it was that they actually get to hold him by the feet. Fascinating. Not contradictory at all. Listen, I believe that the Lord had these things written this way for two reasons. For you as Bible believers, when you read this, this confirms your faith in what you're reading. It does me, and it excites me that God actually is directing these men to write these things down in such a way that he's proving the ultimate author is the Holy Spirit of God. All right, that's a great thing. But if you're not a Bible believer and you come to this Bible and you say, I want an excuse not to believe, he's given you about 15 excuses not to believe right there, or how many ever it is, a dozen apparent contradictions, so you can do it. The Lord is that way. Jesus Christ, he is described as a stumbling stone in Matthew chapter 21. And those that stumble on him and don't get saved wind up in hell. And those that stumble on him and he comes back at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ get crushed. You came to him and you realized in humility he was your Savior and you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and you escape hell and destruction at the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he lays it out there and the difference is a humble mind and a believing heart. And if you're prone to believe what he said, you can put it together. And if you're prone to disbelieve it, you can throw it out. That's the way he does it. Now, you can look at this also again from the two angels. We've already talked about it. But the first one they saw was sitting on the stone in Matthew chapter 28. The other one was sitting in the tomb. When they walk in, the angel stands. And the other angel comes in and stands behind them. And then when Mary remained after Peter and John left, the two angels were sitting, one on the head and one on the feet where Jesus laid. We didn't cover that piece. Okay, so they walk up. There's the angel sitting on the stone. He's not here. He's risen. They walk in. There's one sitting at the right side of where he was. That one stands after he says what he says. This one comes in standing beside them. They see all that. They all turn to leave. Mary sticks around weeping. They sit down. They sit down, one at the head and one at the feet of where Jesus was laying. Look in John chapter 20 and verse 12. John chapter 20 and look at verse 12. Verse 11, but Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping, and she wept. She stooped down and looked into the sepulcher. All right, John's already gone in there. Peter's already gone in. They leave. She's still outside weeping. Now she goes and looks inside again. And there are the two angels in white, one at the head, one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they're asking her. Then they go on and they continue their discourse. Why weepest thou? Because they have taken away my Lord. I know not where they've laid him. And so she's still not believing. That's when Jesus shows up and says, well, I'll fix this. She's not going to believe what I said when I was here. If she's not going to believe what the angels have said, let me just show up and show her, and maybe that'll change her mind. And that does it. That does it. The keepers, you know, we've already talked about this some, but in Matthew chapter 28, the perspective of this from the keepers, they're the ones that actually see the angel roll the stone back. And they're scared to death. They fall out like dead men. And then, you know, they run into town and said, I've seen a ghost. Who was that? Casper? Yeah. So here's the important thing about that. Go back to Matthew chapter 28. They saw all of it. They know what's going on. Matthew chapter 28, verse 11. When they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priest all the things that were done. They told them. Now, I wonder, it doesn't say, but I wonder after that stone rolled back and they saw that angel sitting up there that had rolled it back, I wonder if they just, once they came to, they just booked them, or I wonder if one of them looked in there first and then ran. In any case, they said everything that was done, and when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers. What's that called? That's a bribe. Saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. They weren't asleep. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. What is that talking about? Well, if you remember reading in the book of Acts, there are some soldiers that have Peter under guard. And then there's the Philippian jailer. Remember what the Philippian jailer was going to do whenever the earthquake had opened up the prison and he thought all the prisoners escaped? He was going to kill himself because the penalty of letting a prisoner escape is death. And Paul had to tell him, do thyself no harm, for we're all here, nobody left. And that's when he comes in, and then he wants to get saved. So if it comes to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you, means, you know, you're not going to have to die for telling this, that you fell asleep. So they took the money and did as they were taught, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. They all knew what was going on. So from the perspective of the keepers, they're the only ones who actually saw the stone roll away, and they weren't sticking around for more. The chief priests and the elders here that do this, they were told by eyewitnesses that Jesus had risen from the dead. They knew from the eyewitnesses. These soldiers, at the peril of their lives, told everything they saw. And they could have escaped with their life under the story that really happened. It took a lot of money, big money, it says. Large money unto the soldier. It took a lot of money to convince these guys to put their lives on the line. So the chief priest and the elders knew the eyewitness account of what had happened. They, more than anybody, had heard about it. But the eyewitnesses didn't testify to seeing Jesus personally. Obviously, he didn't show up to them because he showed himself to Mary Magdalene first. But they knew for sure that he wasn't a deceiver. Okay? They knew that for sure. Now, the disciples are an interesting case. The first thing they did is that they mourned and wept in Mark chapter 16, verse 10. And when they first heard about the resurrection from the women, they didn't believe it. Look in Mark chapter 16. This is very important. You know, when you talk about trying to lead a soul to Jesus Christ and that kind of thing, some people want to go in there, they want to witness to him one time, they want him to pray, and they want to say they got saved. Listen, if the disciples who walked with Jesus Christ for 3.5 years and knew him and his miracles, and had heard him say, I am going to rise from the dead, and had seen the empty tombs and the eyewitness of the two men on the road to Emmaus and the witness of Mary Magdalene and still didn't believe it. What makes you think by faith somebody who doesn't believe this stuff initially is going to get it all in a 15-minute gospel presentation, bow their head suddenly, and become a saint? It takes time. And it takes a lot of time. So in Mark chapter 16, verse 9, Jesus was risen early the first day. He appeared first to Mary Magdalene. We know that. Verse 10, she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. So with all this, they're just crying. And listen, somebody said, oh, the disciples stole him. He's up and out of there, and they're not even happy about it. They're still upset and crying and mourning his death. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. They thought the women made it up, according to Luke 24:11. I won't make a comment about that. In Mark chapter 16, they even heard the confirmation from the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Look in verse 12 and 13 and 14 of Mark 16. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. The only one who believed up to this point was whom? John. He went in, he saw the linen clothes lay, he saw the napkin lay by itself. He says, I know what happened here. He's up. Now, if somebody had stolen the body, there are a lot of things that have been said about the clothes, the way they're laid and all that. The napkin would not have been folded together in a place by itself. Okay? You can be sure of that. When those linen clothes were laying right there like they were, it's like he came up right through the clothes. So John looked at all that and he goes, this was not, nobody tampered with this. He's up. I hadn't seen him. But after hearing these reports and seeing what I've seen, I'm good with it. I know what's going on. Now, in verse 14, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief. You're not going to skip a meal. And upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. But they believed him when they saw him there. All but whom? Thomas. Thomas wasn't there. He said, at one time he wasn't there. And he says, I'm going to have to see for myself. I'm going to have to put my fingers into the holes of his hands, my hand to his side. When Thomas finally sees him, what does he say? My Lord and my God. He knew. So, from the perspective of Jesus, the first thing he does is he appears to Mary Magdalene. Then he ascends and comes back. Then he appeared to some as they went to tell the disciples. Then he appeared to Peter. Then he appeared to the two on the road to Emmaus. Then he appeared to his disciples in the evening. Okay? So you've got a lot of appearances throughout the day until finally everybody knows it and believes it. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Jesus also appeared to above 500 at one time. That's probably the group that went up to Galilee, where he told them, he said, go up there and I'll show myself to you. So they all go up there waiting and boom, there he is. And they're like, whoa, this really happened. So they had to see it to believe it. And you and I believe it based on their testimony without having seen it. That's pretty remarkable if you think about it. All right, so that's kind of how all this lays out. That's how it reconciles. All righty? Father, we're thankful today for an opportunity to be able to open the Bible and see that you didn't make any mistakes. And we thank you for that. Now we ask you to bless this time of fellowship that we enjoy together. Before we have our service this morning, Father, we also pray for those that will be visiting with us today, particularly for those that are lost, they might be saved. We ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.